This is the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Now, with Isaiah, here's Brady Hall.
Welcome into the show, the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by the one and only Crazy Carl's Pizza. And Isaiah, man, I love talking to you no matter what, but it's always better when we're talking about a dub. Still reeling from that win over San Diego State, 79-71. Isaiah, my man, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, but I gotta, first things first, the most important stuff, I gotta find out more about this kickball game. Like, that was just hearing about it, hearing what Coach kind of organized for you guys, and it sounded like there was some trash talk going on, too, so I gotta get into some details, man.
There definitely was. It was a fun game, man. Nobody was really expecting it, honestly, and it ended up being probably a pivotal moment for us just as far as rebounding from that previous Saturday and getting our minds shifted off that onto San Diego State and looking forward. It was a fun day for us.
So talk to us about that. I read the article from Kevin in the Coloradoan, and, you know, Coach had said this is what he was going to do. So how does that work? You guys show up and you're ready to practice or get into film study or what? And then Coach just kind of, like, talk to us about what he said to you guys, how he laid that out and said, you know what, we're not going to do anything basketball related right now. We're going to go do something else.
Yeah, it started out, everybody was preparing for practice. We had a lift mixed in there as well. And then also we were going to have film after that. And I think it was as everyone was starting to get ready to go to lift, somebody had got up. I can't quite remember who it was. Somebody had got up to go into the weight room early, and then he kind of got turned around and sent back into the locker room. And we were like, hey, what are you doing? And he was like, I don't know. Joe definitely told me to come sit back down. And then that's when Medved kind of came in and gave his spiel. So. Yeah.
What did that do for you guys, you know, as a group? You're obviously all frustrated, but when you hear, hey, no, this is what we're going to do here, I mean, just excited, you know, hey, it's a change of pace here. What was that like for you?
For me personally, I got excited because I've always been a fan of kickball. And then when we all came into the facility, it was the very next day following the loss, so everybody's emotions were still kind of in a rut a little bit, and rightfully so. That was just a heartbreaking loss there on Saturday. Yeah. But, yeah, man, it kind of flipped really quick for us, I'm not going to lie. It kind of took everybody back to their elementary days. There's a lot of new energy in the building, so I honestly think it was a great decision.
Well,
in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, something worked because you guys stormed out of the gate against San Diego State. I mean, that had to be kind of a relief, too. You know, the Aztecs are a good basketball team, a great basketball team, so you know they're going to make their runs. So for you guys to jump out right off the bat, clearly you were it loosened you up a little bit, and you get that quick lead.
Absolutely. I hope that was the difference in the game right there. But we also did a really good job of preparing as well. I don't want to shortchange that at all from the coaching staff. We did a good job of getting on the film, getting on the game plan. We really just came out aggressive. And I think that was all the difference in the game was just attacking right off the tip. So it was a good start. And ultimately, I think that propelled us to the win.
What did you think about the performance of your big men? I mean, defensively in the paint, keeping a guy like Lede down. You know, he had 13 points, but it was interesting, Isaiah. I'm watching the broadcast on CBS Sports Network, and the broadcasters are constantly saying, what are the Aztecs doing? They got to get it in the paint. They got to get it to Lede. You got to feed the big man there. And I'm sitting there screaming at the TV going, they can't. I mean, you guys were D'ing him up so well. He was working hard just to get what, I mean, he looked like it was excruciating work just to get the 13 points he had.
100%. And when you got great players like that, it's not necessarily that you're ever just going to be able to keep them from doing anything throughout the course of a game, but you just want to make it as tough as possible. And Pat and Rashawn and Joel, those guys just warred and competed for the full 40 minutes. And that's not an easy task to do. I mean, this dude is playing like an All-American.
Yeah.
He's averaging 20 points a night on everybody. So we knew it wasn't going to be easy. And we just had to trust the game plan and trust the guys that you're out there with to do your job and that they're going to have your back if anything goes south. So they did a good job of just simply competing, and I don't expect anything else from them, and they just really showed up for the challenge.
Well, you got San Diego State kind of out of their game plan. I mean, they were shooting a lot of three-pointers. Now, they were making a chunk of those, but that's not really what we've come to know about this Aztecs team, so you got them out of their game plan, and ultimately it worked out.
Right, for sure, and it's high-level basketball, man, so you've got to try to take away something. But yet they're still going to find a way to make plays, which, like you said, they ended up knocking down a handful of threes that really kept it close and really gave them some leads and gave them some momentum down the stretch there a little bit, too. I just really like how we responded.
What was it like? So San Diego State, they didn't have many leads, but they did get that lead. 61, I believe it was 61-60. So they come back, they get their lead. I think shortly after that there was a TV timeout or something. But then you guys come right back. I think you scored 9 unanswered or something like that. I thought that was such a critical moment in the game where it looks like all the momentum is going over to the Aztecs, and then you come out and you get that lead right back and you go on this consistent run. How big was that for you guys to respond when you finally saw them take that lead?
I think it was huge because, like you said at the beginning, man, you know that San Diego State always has a run in them. They just always got players that can make plays. Their pressure can really turn up some notches if you allow it to. So we knew that eventually they were going to make some shots and make some plays, but at the end of the day, man, you just got to continue to trust what you're doing. We felt like we were executing at a really high level, and we were poised with the ball, not just being super careless or being sped up too often. And we just had to get back to doing that during that run. We had a few loose balls that didn't go our way, gave up a few threes that was probably due to some miscommunication, but ultimately, man, we just stuck with it, honestly. So I feel like that was the key to this whole win against them recently.
Yeah, late in that game, you're up. I think you get up around that 10-point mark, and there's a little over a minute left. And obviously, from what happened on Saturday, is there a part in your brain that goes, all right, here we go. We got to make sure we do those little things right. Do you even think about the game before, or is it, no, this situation is isolated. It's by itself. We're up. We know what we have to do.
To me, it was pretty isolated. You know what I'm saying? We've been in those situations a ton where we've closed out leads, whether it was short leads, big leads, just doing what we need to do to get the win down the stretch there, whether it's under 2 minutes or anything like that. So one heroic incident isn't going to necessarily gear us to overthinking anything or anything like that. So, yeah, we were confident. We were poised. Our communication was great during that time, and yeah, I feel like we handled it well.
Yeah, and it's funny. I talked to Coach Jeff Linder the other day, and he actually said, he's like, man, that was one of those situations in that last minute where everything went right for us that could go right, and then everything went wrong for CSU, including maybe some bad calls too, Isaiah. But even I think even Cowboys fans acknowledged that was. That kind of result, that's not going to happen. That rarely happens.
Nah, for sure. But you gotta give all the credit to them. They made the plays that they had to. Because even when you get those calls, you still got to make your free throws. You got to get up quality shots. And then again, you got to make some of them that you're taking too. So a lot of credit to those guys. They made a bunch of plays. But yeah, it was definitely just a unique experience. I've never been a part of anything like that. And hopefully I'll never have to again.
Yeah, and you followed it up with that huge win against San Diego State. Now, you know me. I'm a radio guy, Isaiah, so I get extreme sometimes. And I was joking with Kevin with the Colorado, and I was like, I felt like that San Diego State game, it sure felt like a must-win. And the way you guys handled it and came out right off the bat, I thought that was just so important for you guys. Did you feel extra pressure on this game? Like, hey, we know we got to take care of home court, because I know you. You want to win every single game, but there are certain games that probably the pressure is just elevated just a bit.
For sure, and that's also just a high-level team that you're playing, a high-level game. We played San Diego State. It feels like probably more than any other team in the Mountain West since I've been in college, and those games have always been fun, especially in Fort Collins more so. Been some real good competitive matchups, and those are the ones that you get up for, and those are the ones that you're going to remember a long time from now. So those games have been nonstop fun for me.
You and Neat Clifford, you know, you lit it up. You had both just dominated the box score. You with 20 points, Neat had 20 points, and he had 10 boards. You had your 6 assists. I mean, when your studs are playing at that level, you and of course Neat and Joel Scott was pouring in points too, left and right. It's got to make things a little bit easier. And when you see a guy like Neat, we've talked about him a lot on this show, Isaiah, but his transition to playing for Colorado State, come up with a big game like that. What are you thinking, man, at the end of this when you look at that stat line?
No, man, he's special, and he can take over games at any point. He can score at all three levels, as he showed it. He can finish at the rim. He's excellent from three, but he also got a nice little mid-range game in there, too, that's really opened up a lot more scoring opportunities, I feel like, for him. So he's capitalizing on everything that's in front of him right now. We want him to continue to be aggressive because when he's downhill and he's playing and making plays for us, man, we're just a way better team that way. So, yeah, man, hopefully he keeps it going, and I know he will because that's just the kind of guy he is. So,
another guy, again, Patrick Cartier, 6 points, but again, it was defensively. And you see people, I don't know how much you pay attention to it, but the social media people, they get after it sometimes and they go, all right, can Cartier play defense? Can he stop guys in the paint? And you mentioned all three of those guys with Memba, with Cartier, with Joel Scott. Those guys were working so hard inside the paint. And those aren't things that are going to show up on the stat sheet, but my goodness, Cartier and Scott, like that was a three-headed monster of defense there that night for you.
For sure, and Pat was just absolutely on his game on both ends of the floor. Obviously, he didn't probably score as much as he typically does, but, man, he was just a big catalyst for what we had going, making all these catches tough, continuing to work even when he's tired, and also staying sharp offensively, getting other guys open, creating opportunities out of the post for us. Yeah, man, nothing that he did went unnoticed because we definitely don't get that win without his effort. So, nah, he was super sharp and diligent. And when he really puts his mind to it, man, he can really muck up the game in the paint. So he's been big time for us.
On that note, too, when you go into a game and you got a game plan in front of you, and I'm sure it was that was something that was tasked to all three of those guys was, hey, if we can keep their stud big man out of the paint, keep him from dominating, don't make any entry pass easy for San Diego State. You put so much focus on the defensive side of the ball. Does that sometimes impact what you're doing offensively, or is that not really a thing? It's like, okay, this is just going to be my focus. I got to find different ways to impact the team on offense.
Well, it's any given night, especially on a team like this where you got so many weapons offensively. Like, it could be my night, Neek, Joel, Josiah, Lake, Pat. Like, it could be anybody. Maybe Joe P gets it going again from three or from two and really just finding his opportunities to score. When you're on a team like that, man, you just want to try to impact winning in any way possible. And it looks different on a nightly basis for all of us. We've all had our nights, but then we've also had nights where maybe we defer to somebody else because they really got it going. So I feel like when that's your mindset and that's your just care about your level of care about winning first, I think that really makes it easier to go out there and do your job.
Coming up next for you guys, you know, obviously we've discussed this, winning on the road. It's difficult for everybody in this conference, but finding a way to get it done. I know that's the next hurdle for you guys to get over. You've had a phenomenal season. You've spent so much time in the top 25. We're all talking about March Madness and all that, but perhaps the next hurdle for you guys is finding a way to win on the road in this brutal conference.
Absolutely, and everybody knows it. You got to be able to really win on the road if you want to consider yourself a great team, and we understand what's in front of us. A lot of opportunities to play in some high-level games, so it's not necessarily that we're scared of going on the road and dropping any of them, but we just got to go out there and execute and just play to our strengths, like Coach Medved always says, and just trust what we've been doing since day one. And like you said, it's never going to be easy, so that's to be expected. These tough environments, but I'm excited for it, man, because I feel like there's definitely some good opportunities still left on the schedule for us.
What can you tell us about Fresno State at this point, as far, you know, without giving too many details, but the scout, what's this team do that you guys have to be ready for tomorrow night?
Yeah, man, they're super disciplined. They're tough. They're physical on both ends of the floor. They got Isaiah Hill, the point guard, that can score at all three levels, can dish it, just super smart, poised, sound. And if you let him, man, he can really flip the game on his head. And then they got some really good young guys that can score at the wing spots. And then they also got some just athletic bigs that just can really turn the game around with their physicality and athleticism on the glass and the paint. So we have to do a really good job on them. Otherwise, this game could look totally different. But we have to be sharp early on, especially in transition. So I'm excited for this one because it's going to be a tough challenge.
Is that going to be kind of a similar game plan between those three guys we talked about with Joel Scott, Patrick Cartier, and Rashawn Mbemba, what they're going to be asked to do as far as making sure, hey, if we make it a difficult night for any of their bigs in the paint, it makes everything else easier?
For sure. And I think it also starts with the guards as well, just not allowing anything easy off ball screens and getting your hands active in gaps and understanding who we're guarding, who we're closing out to, winning some of those closeouts, which has been a consistent theme over these last couple of weeks. So I'm excited for this one, man. They got some really good talent over there, so it's definitely not going to be easy, but it's going to be a fun matchup on the road.
We know how special of a conference this is. We've all talked about it so much, but, I mean, it's got to be – sometimes it's frustrating because every night, no matter who you're going against, you know that it's going to be a battle. I don't remember seeing a conference this deep. There's a debate whether this is the best conference in basketball. I think it's a good debate. I think that there's certainly a strong point you can make for this being the best conference in basketball, but from the bottom up, it does seriously feel like any team can win, and that normally that's a cliche, but it's not. How frustrating is that, knowing, hey, we just got through with San Diego State, but there's nothing easy. Now we go on the road against Fresno State, and they're kind of back there in the standings, but that doesn't really mean anything.
For sure, and they've definitely been in some games where I'm sure a play here or there might flip their record completely. They've been in almost every single game that they've played in conference, so the record honestly doesn't mean anything going into it. But regardless of who you're playing, you're spot on, man. Like, this league is just super tough this year. It doesn't matter who you're playing, where you're playing them. More times than not, it's going to be a dogfight, and very rarely do you catch teams that are having an off night right now. So everybody's playing high-level basketball. Even these other games that I've been catching on our off days is just super entertaining to watch, and watching them compete has been fun. So, nah, this league has definitely been a bear so far.
Well, how about the Boise State game? Boise State going into the pit, going up against New Mexico, and they pull out the win. They find a way to get it done. And New Mexico is riding high. They have been red hot. You've got a lot of the national talkers saying, hey, that team, maybe they can go the distance. And then, bam, they lose at home, one of the more difficult places to play. Broncos get a dub. So if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about this conference, I don't know what does.
100%. That's one of the toughest places to play in the country. I don't care what conference you're talking about. But at the same time, man, like you just said, any given night, a team can really get it going. And those games come down to really one or two possessions most nights. And Boise was able to make a few plays. That was a fun game to watch. But even New Mexico had some guys really going as well. So these games have just been super entertaining, honestly, man. And this weekend is also going to be a good one as well.
Oh, there's so many great games. I love watching Mountain West basketball. It's so much fun. It is going to be a blast. On that Broncos Lobos game, when you said you watched it, when you look at like a guy like Max Rice, I mean, his career high was 27, I think, and then he ends up getting 35. There were some shots, dude. He's just throwing it up there. He could have a blindfold on it. It just looked like everything he threw up was going. He had 1-3 there where it just looked like he just kind of shoved the ball up into the air and it fell in. I mean, those nights, sometimes they happen. Obviously, he earned everything he got, but he was also just, I mean, he was in that zone.
Man, for sure. Playing against Max for a while now, yeah. Those shots aren't even like that surprising anymore, man. Every so often, he'll have a game where he's in that zone like you're talking about, and he starts just kind of shooting the ball from anywhere, no hesitation at all. And it always hurts worse when it's against your team. So I've seen them hit a few on us as well over the years.
Well, and on the other side for New Mexico, I mean, you talk about sometimes when they go on a stretch, it looks like they're never going to lose a game. I mean, their guard play is exceptional. When you have a three-headed monster with those guards, Donovan Dent has been I don't know if he's been a surprise, but I don't know that he was supposed to be a 36-minute kind of guy. And in that game, he was another one where everything he put up was going in. He was driving to the lane.
Yeah, man. Nah, he made literally everything that he put up that night. He was getting to the rim just at will. And some of those finishes just did not make sense to me, man. Yeah. Dude's just all over him. He's going at weird angles, left hand, right hand, didn't matter. Yeah, man, he was locked in. That was pretty cool to watch, yeah.
Yeah, huge slate of games this weekend. Tonight on FS1, it's San Jose State in Nevada. But Saturday, I mean, we have a lot of big games coming up, yours included. That'll be on CBS Sports Network at 8 o'clock. You playing Fresno State. But also, earlier that day, I think it's at 1 or 1:30, Utah State going up against San Diego State. That is a huge game, too, because we know where Utah State's sitting right now. And at this point, they have certainly earned the right to say, hey, we're the best team in this conference. But that, there's some dynamite games on the schedule this weekend.
For sure, man. And I'm definitely going to be tuned in before our game, just in the hotel chilling. That's something that me and Jalen Lake do on almost every road trip, is try to catch some games before we play. And normally we're one of the earlier games, I feel like, on Saturdays. So it would be cool to kind of just sit back and watch some of those. Before we play.
It'll be special. Let it play out a little bit before you guys go at it against Fresno State. Well, we know it's important for you guys, man. And hey, you might have to tell Coach Medved, you keep winning like this, we might need a few more kickball games scheduled and thrown in the mix here.
Man, I'm all for it. Hopefully we play today or something. I don't know. That'd be nice.
All right, so I got to ask you this question, because nobody, I bring it up, and I know there's the regular style of kickball, which is what you guys played. Have you ever heard of kangaroo kickball, Isaiah?
No, I have not.
Okay.
What is that?
All right, so maybe this is something. I'd be happy to pop by. It's kickball, but it's like in a rectangle type situation there. You've got you're kicking the ball, and then you run over. First base is to the right of you, and then second base is all the way down, like in a rectangle form. Third base, and then you have your home. It's wild. I think you guys would like it. If you want me to come by, I'd be happy to run it through and show you guys the ropes. What do you think?
I'll be down for it, man. That sounds wild, though, but yeah. Nah, I'll be down for it. It's not making sense over the phone, but I'm sure if you show me,
well,
I'll be able to pick it up.
I'm from a small town. We get bored, so we just create things, and that must have been what happened. I just thought it was like everybody knew about it, but everyone I've asked, they're like, are you crazy? I've never heard of it. So just put it on the back burner, and we'll see what we can do.
I bet, man. Sounds good.
All right, my man. Well, we're going to let you go. I know you guys, you got to get prepared for a big one tomorrow, a big test. You guys want to get that first win on the road. I think once that happens, maybe it's one of those cases where you see the ball go through the hoop kind of deal. That confidence starts to grow. So we're looking forward to a big game coming up tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, CBS Sports Network.
Absolutely, my man. Thank you for having me.
All right, you too. Thanks for your time. Always appreciate it. There it is, the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And, yeah, that was such a big win. And I love talking to Isaiah. Isaiah will jump on after a loss like that, because he has no problem. This is a competitive dude. He wants to get on talk. But they're a little bit easier when you get a win like that. So congratulations to Isaiah. Beautiful game against the Aztecs. Got to win on the road, man. They got to find a way. They got the road task coming up against Fresno State. And that's, you know, 9-12, 2-6 in the conference. But you can't let that confuse you too much. I mean, like Isaiah said, they've been in a good chunk of their games. You know, they lost to UNLV by 9. They beat Air Force. They lost to Boise State at home by 4. And Utah State handled them pretty good, but they've had a lot of these close ones. They were close with Wyoming. It was a one-point game there. So you got to be careful here. It's a very good basketball team. 29 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. Big night last night for the UNC Bears, too. They get another one. Double overtime. They got to be leading the conference in double overtime games, you think? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursday 33 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday morning to you out there, Northern Colorado. Hooligans all over the area. Thanks for being with us here. It's basketball just keeps rolling, man. UNC last night. I mean, wow. Double overtime. They get the win. Free. It comes down to free throws sometimes in these games. I mean, really, you had Reeves who needed to make all three free throws to send it into the, was it the first OT or was it the second OT? I lost track, man. It was a crazy game, but you got to make your free throws, and they did.
I want to say it was the first overtime. He got fouled, bringing the ball up the court.
It was wild.
Yeah, it was a kind of foul.
Yeah.
It could have gone either way, but they give him the free throws, makes all three, double overtime, and then Zach Block hits a huge corner three late to kind of put that game out of reach.
Yeah. It was, this is another one of those. This is a tough conference at this stage. And finding a way to win, even when it doesn't quite look like that's going to happen. I don't know how the Bears ended up getting that into overtime. That was nuts, man. That first overtime.
Absolutely. You get six guys finishing in double digits. DeJour Reeves with 9 points, so he's just right there. But it was a full team effort. You needed every single person off the bench. Theo Hughes got a lot more minutes because you just needed it. Everyone was picking up fouls left and right. There had to be 20-something free throws in the last in both overtimes in the last minute or two.
Every time I was listening to Mike's call, tremendous call, by the way, but it just seemed like every 10 seconds somebody was shooting a free throw. So it's just so big to be able to make those. I mean, and then when your studs are doing it, St. Thomas, he had like 5 points or something in as we're getting through overtime, and he ended up with 18 points and 10 boards.
Yeah, well, you hit 2 3-pointers out the gate. You know, it doesn't take much for him to get going, and you know, you kind of needed that boost going into overtime. But just good team win, solid effort. We talked to Coach Smiley this morning.
Yeah, I heard the great interview.
I asked him if he got any sleep. He said, not enough. So they're going to get some rest today and then get ready for Weber State tomorrow.
They've had 2 double overtime games this year, right?
Yes, at least 2 double overtimes, a couple more standard overtime games.
Yep. I mean, they played a lot of basketball this year.
They have, and you see it when you get games like this. You could crumple. You could miss free throws like Idaho State did late. But it just builds you up getting ready for that Big Sky tournament here in a few weeks. Or about a month or so now. You love to see it.
Smiley talked about how important it was to not have to play 4 games in a row. So, I mean, they are fighting hard so that they can get that first round bye.
Well, don't look now. Eastern Washington lost last night, too.
So you're a game back.
There you go.
And you get them still again. You get them at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, got to beat Weber State. Weber State, they were picked to win this conference, right? So it's been a weird year for them, but that's a damn good basketball team.
Yeah, they are 13-9, 4-5 in conference play. They got a big win against Northern Arizona last night.
Who did Eastern Washington lose to?
Montana State.
Oh, wow.
It was Montana schools. So Eastern Washington's on their Montana trip. So they'll get Montana tomorrow night.
Well, take care of Weber State. If Eastern Washington can drop another one, wouldn't that be something? And it's the first 2 or 3 teams. I ask you 4 million times.
Top 2 teams get a bye.
Okay.
Top 6 teams don't play in the first round.
Okay.
It's weird how the bracket
gets set up. I don't understand it.
Yeah, top 1 and 2 get a bye. And then 4-5 or 3-4, 5-6 will play in the third round.
So just make sure you get that. Yeah. Top 2. Mm-hmm. That's what you're after.
You want to play 3 games.
So the Bears are 6-2 now, as Angel pointed out. Eastern Washington 7-1. Montana 6-3. Montana State 6-3. That's right around where it is as far as this race of what it's going to look like. And then you have your Portland States and Weber State. If they can beat UNC in their arena tomorrow, in Bank of Colorado Arena, they're going to put themselves back in the thick of things, too. But it's probably going to come down to what looks to be kind of a four-horse race here in the Big Sky Conference.
Absolutely, yeah. And you'll get the Montana swing back here in Greeley next week. So you want to feel good. If you can go 4-0 on your homestand, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. We talked about
this
yesterday.
The Bears are really good at home this year.
Yeah, they've been very good.
Officially passing their win total from last season. That's
nice.
Official now, so... Good job, Coach Smiley.
Yeah, it's a great job. I mean, that guy, like I said a million times this week, with the Dalton Connect stuff, with how well they're doing, bringing in a St. Thomas. Smiley's, that's a damn good basketball coach right there. So, you know, again, I hope they can keep him. We'll see. But Idaho State's interesting. They beat Weber State the other night, 74-64. So that's not a bad basketball team. They lost by 7 to Montana State. They lost by 12 to Eastern Washington. They beat Idaho. It was close against Sacramento State. It was close against Portland State. So that's a team that a couple things go the right way for them, and their record's reversed. So that was not like a bad team that the Bears struggled against last night. That's a team that has shown that they can beat pretty much anybody, or at least compete with anybody in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar type of conference to the Mountain West. There are no easy games. There are no easy road games. Everyone is going to bring something different that you have to get prepared for, and you got to feel like the Bears have the most complete team at this point, at least one of the deepest teams, being able to go 6-7 players deep on the bench. That's really good to see.
That's huge, especially as you get into the dog days of the year. I mean, February is tough because you've still got 9-10 games left, whatever, but you're also looking at March. You're looking at the end of the month of where you want to be in these conference tournaments. So it's hard to keep your focus. So when you have a lot of depth on your team, that certainly helps. 40 minutes after the hour, before we break, let's thank one of our great sponsors, On the Rocks Liquor. Grab your game beer of the week. This one's from New Belgium. It's a Mountain Time Lager, available for you at On the Rocks Liquor. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. They got free wine and beer tastings that they do pretty much every single weekend. And they've got a big focus on local craft breweries, too. So they're picking up the local stuff, as well as getting your staples. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. 40 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Okay, so what's going on here, Angel? Talk to us about what you just read about the landscape of college sports. Sounds like we're getting together a little think tank group, a little productive group here to try to figure out what's happening in the land of college athletics.
Yeah, this story coming from Pete Thamel. Sources say the SEC and Big Ten are set to announce that they are setting up an advisory committee that is expected to look at the entire college sports landscape and solutions within it. So be made up of school presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors.
Trying to look at how to fix this, because it's chaotic right now. It's out of control. I'm guessing NIL and transfer portal stuff will be the top two things.
Better be.
I mean, it's got obviously conference realignment and TV deals and all that. It's out of control. The travel for some of these schools moving around all these different conferences. This is something they should have done 20 years ago. Get a group together. Figure this out. Hey, here's stuff that's going to probably hit us beyond the horizon at some point. We're going to have to deal with NIL stuff. We're going to have to deal with kids trying to fight that they should be able to transfer as many times as they want to.
Yeah, there's that fight on the transfer stuff, and then the NIL stuff, under the table recruiting that's mm-hmm. going on. That you know, these schools are having to almost like self impose stuff. Iowa had to self impose a violation because they reached out to an Alabama offensive lineman during the season, and now he has transferred to Iowa since. So it's just wild stuff. And how do you regulate it? How do you control it?
Don't know. I honestly don't know the answer. And where I thought this could be handled professionally, where kids could just make... I always go back to the Johnny Manziel thing. Like, that was crap. He should be able to sell something that he autographed. It's his picture, and he signed it, and he charged for it, and he got suspended for a half of a football game. I thought we could get to that point, where it's like they should just be able to make money off of it. But these collectives, again, I don't hate the collectives. I think some of them are doing it right. Some of them aren't. But there's a lot of money in these collectives, and they're supposed to say you don't pay for play and all that. How is it not? How do you not?
And there's very, there's probably 20 to 30 top athletes at college football that are getting paid, almost about $1 million worth of NIL money. all these other guys, you know, your second string offensive lineman, he's not making that kind of NIL money. But he can go transfer to another school and be a starter and make a little bit more.
How do you fix this? Like, you can't stop it. It's already in effect. Do you really consider paying them from the college? And not every college is Alabama and Michigan.
Right.
You know, I mean, UNC can't afford to pay their guys.
If you move to a salary-based thing or a, you know, revenue-sharing type of format, obviously even that's not the same. Football's not making as – or basketball doesn't make as much as football.
No.
Softball doesn't make as much as baseball. Track doesn't make as much as volleyball or swimming. So it's all different. And then you start getting an influx of kids. Well, I just want to play football because that's going to make me the most money.
The only way to keep the NIL thing from getting staying crazy and people abusing it is to say there's no transfers. But you can't do that either because didn't the Supreme Court hammer that one down too?
Mm-hmm. You know, and then you get into the, oh, well, my coach can leave and he doesn't, well, your coach is getting a contract buyout. So
it's not fair. And it's also unfair. It's unfair that you ask a kid to stay, like Clay Millen. That's not fair that he transferred from Nevada thinking he's going to be the guy because he came to where the guys are, the guys that scouted him. And then he gets benched and he's kicked down to the depth chart to third or fourth where he's never going to see the light of day. It's not fair that he just has to stay there for the next 2 years. That's not fair. But it's also not fair that Braden Fowler Nicolosi is getting contacted somehow by different schools and being... someone's waving $600K in front of his face. Like, that's not fair. So both the transfer portal and the NIL thing, they are working together to make this chaotic, and I don't know what the fix is anymore.
Oh, so much of it is under the table because the rules are in place that coaches can't do it, schools can't outwardly do it. It's these companies, these businesses, these collectives that talk to these players, and, you know, they don't have to tell their coach. Like, if they want to report, hey, this source offered me this much money to go here. Just letting you know, coach, if you don't see me next week, I'm probably out of here.
Well, and people that knock the kids for taking the money don't understand. Because, yeah, the ones that don't, oh, he's loyal. Well, maybe they're better, they're well off. Maybe their family is making good money and they don't really need it right now and they can afford to. But then there's some kids that's like, dude, $600,000? I want to go make that right now. I need it, you know? If I get a lot, I could even get back to my family. So I get the loyalty thing, but that's not always what it comes down to. Like, these guys are trying to make some money that they might never see. They might not go pro. Is Braden Fowler Nicolosi a professional quarterback? No. He's not going to go to the NFL. I don't think so. He's not big enough, is he?
That's on his bulletin board right now.
To go to the NFL?
No, that you just said he's not. I'll show that Brady
go,
guy.
Go, fine. You know, if you need me to motivate you to go to the NFL, I'd be happy to say I'm the reason a guy lifted a little extra and practiced a little harder and he made it to the NFL. Smitty texting in, schools paying players will eliminate sports and cause Title IX issues because almost no school functions with an overall department profit. Most lost a lot of money. Most lose a lot of money. Yeah, that's not realistic either. I mean, the big schools might have something that they could justify where they pay guys, they pay their top whatevers, but most schools don't have that.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Title IX. That's a huge thing when it comes to equal opportunity for college athletes and, you know, equal scholarship opportunities and walk-on opportunities. It is a mess in college athletics.
I'll be curious to see what they come up with.
Interesting that it's just the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah, because you're not hearing from the little guy, you know?
The ACC and the Big 12 are just the little guys now.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much it's what we always say now. Like, those two conferences, ultimately it's probably leaning toward the mini NFL, an NFC and an AFC. That's what we keep thinking is going to happen at some point.
South.
Yeah. I mean, that's unless something is fixed. NCAA has to figure out, do they want to be a business or do they want to be, you know, adhering to Title IX and student athletes and scholarships? Because it's hard to do both. And we've talked about that for years. You can't, you know, this is big business. Alabama football, SEC football, Big 10 or Big 12 football?
Big 10.
Big 10 is, that's big business. That's NFL territory right there. And these, like Alabama, they're making money. They're making, they're not making as much as like a professional football team, but they're up there. Maybe they are in some instances. So you can't be both. And I will be very interested to see what they come up with, but I don't like that the little guy's not represented. And I'm talking even the little guy. Like the Mount West isn't represented.
No, you're tier three on a four-tiered cake right now.
And that's what, to me, ends up going back to, they're going to get left in the cold. And we may get to the point where now we've got another tier of sports where it's, you know, the playoffs, then it's FBS and FCS. FBS could be its own thing now, the bowls and all that stuff. But the playoffs are something different. They create their own bowl system where the playoff games are just their bowls, but they go out and get new ones. Oh, yeah. No, I could see that happening. Where it's FBS, you have you could even have all the major bowls. But the playoffs become so big, and it's just the Big Ten and the SEC. And now they're creating their whole, they redo it from scratch.
What would they need bowl games for? Just play the games at home.
They just... Yeah, you don't have to call them bowl games, but they'll get each game sponsored. Mm-hmm. It's the Tostitos first round. You know, I could see that happening. 11:52 the time. We're going to take a short break. I got my top story of the day coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. We got buy or sell, Nuggets at the deadline, the NBA All-Stars, all that stuff. And then Kevin got Rams fans sparked yesterday by saying it's not a must win for the Rams tomorrow against Fresno State. Your thoughts? Let's get into that as well. We'll be right back.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Got our poll question of the day stemming from our conversation yesterday with Zach Stevens. Will Russell Wilson be a starting quarterback in 2024? Whether it's with the Broncos, not likely. The Steelers, that's the team that keeps coming up. Or the Atlanta Falcons. Zach believes that he'll be playing quarterback next year for the Falcons. Will he be starting for the Falcons?
Depends. Do they have a quarterback as a rookie? Do they run it back with Ritter? I'm still leaning towards Big Hubs text that I think they're going to go after Justin Fields.
That would take out Russell Wilson for Atlanta, wouldn't it? You don't want to mess with that. If you're getting Fields, it's not. Fields is to the point where he doesn't want to sit. He's not going to sit. He's good enough to not sit behind anybody. He's not a rookie. All right, second hour coming up. Top story of the day. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.